Thank you, Brother Mike. God bless you. John chapter 4 today. John chapter 4. We're studying through this New Testament book together. John chapter 4, verse 46 is where we've come to. John chapter 4, verse number 46. John 4, 46. If you're keeping notes through this series, this is where we've come to. John 4, 46 through the end of the chapter, verse 54. Let's read these verses together. So Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where he had made the water wine, and there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then said Jesus unto him, Except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. The nobleman saith unto him, Sir, come down ere my child die. Jesus saith unto him, Go thy way, thy son liveth. The man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him and went his way. And as he was now coming down, going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, Thy son liveth. Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend or to get well. And they said unto him, Yesterday at the seventh hour the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in the which Jesus said unto him, Thy son liveth, and himself believed, and his whole house. This is again the second miracle that Jesus did when he was come out of Judea into Galilee. I want to preach to you today on this subject, the blessing of trouble. The blessing of trouble. Let's pray together. We share this thought. Father, we love you today. I pray that you help my heart to be clean, to be right, to be holy. If there is anything that is displeasing to you, forgive me and remove it. May as I stand here, may I be as right with God as I possibly can be. And as I preach today, may it not be my words, but may it truly be the Word of God. Would you deal with us thoroughly? Would you challenge us from your Word? Help somebody today. Draw somebody to Calvary. In Jesus' name, amen. In this particular story that we've come to in this book, we see the Lord Jesus is back in the land of Cana where he turned the water into wine. When he was there, a certain nobleman comes to him, and this man is in the midst of a troublesome time in his life. But at the end of the story, we will see that the trouble was really a blessing in disguise. Many times that's what trouble is. It hits you and you can't see clearly. When it's all over and done and you look back on it, you realize it's one of the best things that God put in your life. Now, I want to focus our attention on this nobleman and bring out three things about him as we consider the blessing of trouble. Number one, we see his burden. Now, this is found in verses 46 and 47. I'm not going to read it again. But you'll notice in verse 46, the Bible says his son was sick. Verse number 47, he says his son was at the point of death. Now, according to verse number 49, he knew his son was going to die because he said, Lord, please come with me or else my boy is going to die. Here's the point. Things didn't look good for this man. This man was carrying a heavy burden. His own son was sick and going to die. Now, let me say this to you. If you have children, many of you, most of you do, can you imagine? I don't even want to imagine. That your child is diagnosed or something like that with something that's going to take his life, and your boy or your girl, it's just a matter of time before they're going to leave this world and go out into the, I'm talking about to the other side of life. This man was carrying a very heavy burden. Anybody who's a parent understands that you'd rather yourself get sick than your child. Amen or not out there, friends. I'd rather get sick myself than my kids get sick. There's no doubt about that. And any parent worth their salt would say the same thing. This man's heart is heavy. This man's heart is burdened. This man's heart is broken. Now keep in mind that this was a nobleman. When you look up that word, what's it mean? Here's what it means. It means he was the king's servant. That's what it means. It means he was one that was connected to the royal household. It literally means he was the king's man. That's what he was. He was a man of high position, but his position did not deliver him from pain. And his position did not deliver him from burdens. May I say this to you? Trouble comes to everybody. It comes in different sizes, comes in different packages, comes in different ways. But trouble comes to everybody. No matter who you are, no matter what your name is, no matter how big your house is, how small it is, no matter how what kind of a car you drive or whether you pull a horse-pulled wagon, it makes no difference. It makes no difference if everybody knows you or nobody knows you. It makes a difference if you have the most money or the less money. Everybody has trouble. Everybody does. And this man was going through trouble. Maybe today you're carrying a burden. One thing that a pastor, I'm going to say, has privilege to is when folks in the congregation are carrying burdens. And I think it's amazing the timing of this message. I didn't go looking for this message. This is the next message right in line. Mr. Keith Kaiser told me when he was training me on putting messages together, he challenged us to preach through books because he said, you'll be amazed that God has you right where you need to be. And he does. There are people today who are carrying burdens. People today that are carrying things that you did not choose for yourself. People today that are at a point of hopelessness. A point that you know if God doesn't step in, it's over. That's where this man was. We see, first of all, his burden. Secondly, I want to show you his behavior. This is found in verses 47 to 50. Now, considering the burden that this man was carrying, I see several actions that he took. And these actions, by the way, he's lost. This is a lost man. He's not saved right here. We're going to learn some lessons from a lost man here. Amen. Because I'm going to show you what he did while he was carrying that burden. While that burden was on him, while he couldn't get it off. I mean, have you ever had something hit you that it feels like an elephant sitting on your chest and you just can't get it off of you? You wish you could move it or just at least get a little bit more comfortable underneath of it. Hey, that's where this man was. What did he do? What was his behavior during this time? Let me give you several things. First of all, letter A, he went to Jesus. We see this in verse 47. Look at it. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him. You know what that word went? When you look it up, it means he went off at once. It means he didn't stop and think about it. He didn't have to wonder where to go. He immediately, as soon as he got the burden, he said, I've got to go to Jesus. That's what he did. He went to Jesus. May I say to you that he went to the one who could help him. This man realized that this burden he was carrying, he realized he could not handle it. But he knew somebody who could. And he went off at once to the one who could help him. Psalm 55:22 says this, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. You know what that word cast means? It means hurl it or throw it. Can I throw something today? Look here. Here's what that word cast means. It doesn't mean that Jesus wants you to come and say, will you take this? You please take it, Jesus. It doesn't mean that he wants you to sugarcoat it and just bring it to him and lay it at his feet. No, the word cast means you hurl it at him. You throw it at him. Hey, you get it and say, I can't take that, God. Take it from me, please. God says that's what he wants you to do with your burden. Throw it at him. Cast it on him. When trouble comes, spew it out on the Lord. Give it all to God. Matthew 11:28. I used to could throw, but that kind of hurt the back of my arm right there. I'm getting old. Nick, I'm getting old. I'll get you up here to throw it next time, right? Matthew 11:28, here's what Jesus said. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Number one, he went to Jesus. Number two, he besought the Lord. We find this in verse 47, verse number 49. He besought the Lord. Look at verse 47. He went unto him and besought him. You know what that word besought means? It means he requested, he asked, he beseeched, he desired, he entreated, he prayed, he begged. And you know what else that word means when you look it up in the tense that it's given? It means he kept doing it. That means he went to Jesus, he was casting his burden on the Lord, and he didn't just cast it once, he just kept casting it. He kept doing it, he kept doing it, he kept begging, kept pleading, kept begging, kept pleading, kept begging, kept pleading. That's what that word besought means. Hey, he wants you to bombard his throne. That's what he wants. He wants you not to leave him alone. This is all found in this word besought here. So he went fervently. He went faithfully. He was begging God. He was pleading with God. Hey, when's the last time that you begged God for something? I'm talking about you were tired when you got done praying because you were pouring out your heart on him. I mean, you were casting that burden on him and you just refused to stop. You just kept on bringing it. You kept on begging. Hey, by the way, this is a father begging for his son. I preach another message out of this in my home series on a father of faith. Same passage, same scripture. Every daddy in here ought to be burdened to beg God for their children. That's what this man is doing. He's begging the Lord. He's begging him fervently. Hey, do you think that his praying right here, his begging Jesus, was half-hearted? I don't think so. Because this man knew that if Jesus doesn't step in, my boy's going to die. Do you realize that every now and then the Lord allows things in our lives that he's the only answer for? That there's nowhere else to turn? That if it gets healed, it's going to be him to do it? Let me tell you one reason he does that, because he wants to prove himself. And he wants all the glory. He will not share it with anybody. Psalm 62:8 says, trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. You ever seen that word Selah and say, what's that mean? Is that a person? What is that? You know what that word Selah means? It means stop and chew on that a while. Stop and think about it. Don't just read past this. Stop, meditate on what you just read. So let's do that. Let's selah this verse here. Trust in him at all times. Ye people, pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. The Bible says in James 5:16, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Luke 18:1, Lord, teach us to pray. How much time have you spent begging God? Now, I'm cut right there, friends. I'm burdened right there. I'm convicted right there. This man went to Jesus. That's part of his behavior. He begged God. He besought the Lord fervently and faithfully. He just kept on doing it. Thirdly, he believed God's word. We see this. Look at verse number 50. Now, what did the man ask the Lord to do? The man asked the Lord to come with him. Come with me. Here's what the Lord said. Look at verse 50. Go thy way, thy son liveth. Notice this. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him. You know, he wanted the Lord to come with him. But the Lord gave him another answer. Can I tell you what the Lord said to his request? Come with me or he's going to die. Go thy way, thy son liveth. Can I paraphrase? No, I'm not coming with you. No. But I'll tell you what I will do. I'll give you my word. You know, in today's, he's always with us. He never tells us, I'm not going with you. But can I say this to you, friends? Isn't it interesting that this man thought he had to have the Lord in person there? And Jesus said, I've got something that's just as good. It's my word. Now, if you don't know where I'm going with this, you got mental problems, okay? You know, he could have questioned the Lord here. You're not going to come with me? But he didn't. The Bible says the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken to him. You know what's interesting about trouble? That the first thing, or many times, the first thing Satan tries to do is to cast doubt on the word of God. Now, if you've ever had trouble, you know what I'm talking about, don't you? I'm telling you, what we need in trouble is not to run from the Bible and question the Bible, but we need to believe the Word of God. Titus 1 verse 2 says, God cannot lie. By the way, aren't you glad? What if God could lie? How would you know you have eternal life? God cannot lie, friends. It's impossible. The Bible says in John 17, 17, Jesus said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Here's what I'm trying to get across to you. That when burdens come, don't run from God's word. Run to it. Believe it. It works. I shared this Wednesday night. I shared it in my Sunday school class. I'm going to share it with you because many of you have not heard. My wife is now expecting another baby. Not two or three, I hope. This was not scheduled. It was not planned. Matter of fact, we had just started talking that we believe that we're through after joy. And it's like the Lord put a smile on his face. That's what you think, big boy. You know what I mean? Glory. Pray for her because pregnancies are hard on her. Pray for her. She's doing fine. One good thing about it is she's craving certain foods, and I get to tap in on that. You know what I mean? I'll go get that for you, sweetheart. Yeah. You know what I mean? The fact of the matter is when we found out, she went for the first ultrasound. Some of this is repeat for you on Wednesday night, so just bear with me. But it applies here, just about believing God's word. Now, there are many times I've not believed it, and for that I'm ashamed. This is not necessarily one of them. We went for the ultrasound, and in the ultrasound, where the baby's growing, you know, the I think it's called the gestational sac or something like that. They showed us the baby, just real tiny. And there was something that looked. I mean, we've got the ultrasound. I mean, it's really kind of phenomenal to look at. There was something that looked like it was growing, like a mass that was growing right beside the baby that was much bigger than the baby. The doctor came in to the ultrasound, and that always makes you nervous, you know. And my wife even said, what is that? And she said, well, that's why I'm here. We don't know what that is. We don't know what she said, I've never seen anything like that before. We don't know what it is. This is right before I went to Brazil. Funny, isn't it? The timing of it. What I've learned in trials, and my trials pale in comparison to many of your trials. I'm not trying to lift us up that we've gone through something tremendous. No, but at that, compared to what many of you have gone through or going through, we've gone through nothing. But at that time, it was tearing us to pieces. But the very next morning, the very next day, that was a certain day, and the very next day when I got my Bible out for my devotional reading, I've learned not to necessarily go looking for verses, but if I'm walking with God on a daily basis, God will have me miraculously where He wants me to be. And I was in the book of Exodus, and I opened my Bible because at that moment, what we did was schedule her for a more updated, high-risk ultrasound right here in Gray. She was scheduled to go when I was in Brazil, and we just didn't have peace with that. I said, no, let's wait until I get home. That way I'm with you whenever you go. So it was a month later. We were forced to wait. We couldn't stop it. It was nothing. I mean, we were literally forced to wait. Didn't know what we were going to hear, anything like that. But that next day, I was in Exodus chapter 14, where the Israelites go to the Red Sea, and they're boxed in. And the Egyptians are coming behind them. The Red Sea's in front of them. They're boxing on the side. There's nowhere they can go. Ever been there? Ever come to the Red Sea and it's going to take a miracle? You ever come to the Red Sea and you can't go behind, you can't go beside. Hey, you can't get it. It's just where you are. And I came to the verse that said, stand still. See the salvation of the Lord. Verse or two after that, here's what I read. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. God was speaking to me. I came to a verse or two after that, and they said, why are you talking to me? Go forward. You remember the story. Go forward. God used that verse to say, you don't need to stay home. You need to go on to Brazil and try to win people to Christ. Don't stop on God. Keep going. Came to the next chapter and said, he's my God. I will exalt him. Put it all together. Stand still. The Lord's going to fight for you. You keep your mouth shut. You keep going forward for God and exalt God all the way through it. That's what he gave me the next morning. And God, through his word, gave me peace. And God gave my wife peace. We didn't know what we were going to hear when I got back. Now, praise God, when we got back, they went back to look. They couldn't find whatever that was. It was gone. So either God removed it or moved it out of the way, which is what we were praying for. He gave a yes. Praise God for that. But the point I'm trying to get across to you is in the middle of the trouble, we didn't know what kind of trouble we was going to get. We didn't know what kind of news we were going to have. We didn't know if the baby's going to live or die. Still don't know that really because that, I mean, the baby's in the Lord's hands, you understand. But that trouble hit our life. And I'm telling you what got me through. What got me through was the word of the living God. That's what got me through. And I'm going to tell you what's going to get you through trouble. It may be a yes he gives you. It may be a no he says to you. It may be a wait he says to you. But I'll tell you one thing. He will give to all of his children. He will give the word of God. And no matter what the trouble is, if he chooses to remove it, praise God. If he chooses to leave it, praise God. Go to the word of God. Walk with God. Go on for God. And God will speak to you through his word. And when he does, believe him. Believe him. I've told you this story many times, and preacher, if I stay here as long as you did, glory, they'll hear this story another, who knows. Just talking about believing God, believing his word, believing what he says, because the devil's going to try to get you to do just the opposite. When my son, who's now 11, and I noticed today, of course, he had his shoes on and I didn't, he was eye level with me. Glory. Now he's either taken after my Uncle Jamie or he's taken after Becky's side of the family, because I'm telling you, it's going to be like, now, son, when he was much smaller, he was around, I think, 2 or 3, something along that line. Almost eye level with me then, too, but anyway, I figured I'd say it, because I know many of you are thinking it, okay? He was standing on our bed, the edge of our bed, our you know, down here at the foot. It's pretty high for him, so on. Yeah, I know. And I was standing down here, and he wanted to jump. He just wanted to jump so bad. And I began to test my son. I didn't put my hands out like this, say, jump, Daddy will catch you. I kept my hands to my side, and all I gave him was my word. I said, son, jump, Daddy will catch you. That's all I did. Jump, Daddy will catch you. He's rocking back and forth like this. And it wasn't any time that he jumped towards me. Now I want to pause and see him in midair, okay? You see him there? What did that boy just say to his daddy? I believe what you just told me. I trust your word. And what I drop? No, I did not drop him, okay? Can I say this to you? If you would have tried to get in my way to keep me from catching him, I'd have done everything I could to knock the fire out of you to be able to keep my word with my son. Now, if I as a human father want my son to trust my word when it is possible that I could have dropped him, how must God feel when he comes to the edge of your bed, puts his arms down to his side, and he knows he's brought you to some place that you could never get down alone, and all he does is give you his word? How much time do we waste doing this? Can I encourage you with something? Jump. Put God's word to the test. He believed the word of God. Fourth, he obeyed the word of God. We see this in verse number 50. Jesus saith unto him, go thy way, thy son liveth. The man believed the word that Jesus spoke unto him, and he went his way. What did Jesus tell him to do? Go your way, leave. Go home. What'd he do? He went home. You know, it's one thing to believe the Bible. It's another thing to obey it. James 1:22 says, "Be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." Luke 6:46, Jesus said, "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" Luke 11:28, but he said, "Yea, rather blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it." You know, I wonder, is there an area that you are not obeying the word of God in while you're hurting? See, the devil will try to separate you from God any way he can. So he'll try to get you to stop reading the Bible when you have trouble. He'll try to get you to stop praying. He'll try to get you to stop believing. But if you even read and even believe that verse, then he'll try to get you to stop obeying what God's given you to do. Can I say something to you? One of the greatest things you can do while you have trouble is obey God. Just keep going. So number one, we see his burden. Number two, we see his behavior. We close with number three, his blessing. This is where I get the blessing of trouble, the blessing of trouble. Look at verse 51. "And he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, Thy son liveth. Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend. They said unto him, Yesterday at the seventh hour the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in the which Jesus said unto him, Thy son liveth, and himself believed, and his whole house." Now what does this mean? See, we see as a result of this trouble that the Lord allowed in, I'm talking about towards his son getting sick, God became real to this man and to his entire family. See, God used this trouble to bring about the greatest blessing he possibly could to this family. It's interesting that this nobleman got saved. He believed. He got saved. And his whole family believed too. Question, how'd they hear about it? How'd they know to believe? Who'd they know who to believe? This daddy had to share his faith with his family. He had to. Because he believed, and his whole family, because he told his whole family what had taken place. What a beautiful picture to imagine this scene, a father trusting Christ and sharing his faith with his whole family and the whole family getting saved with him. That's a beautiful thing. Get this, God used a heavy burden to bring a heavenly blessing to this family. Listen, who knows? God does. But without this trouble, this whole family could be in hell right now. I can't prove that, but you can't disprove it. All I know is that God used this trouble with this child who is at the point of death to save the daddy and save the entire family. Let me ask you a question. I'm almost done here. Now you know I'm lying to you and I'm saying that, but I'm kidding with you, okay? But what burden are you carrying? What Red Sea are you standing at? Can I encourage you with this? Don't have the attitude of, God, what are you doing to me? But by faith, look up and say, God, what are you trying to do for me? What blessing is God trying to give to you? There was a survivor. He was the only survivor in a shipwreck. And he washed up on a small, uninhabited island. He was the only one that lived. And he prayed for God to rescue him. But it seemed hopeless because no doubt folks probably thought he perished with everybody else. Finally, he began to build a small hut so he could live there and try to make the best of his situation. But he came back one day and his hut was burning to the ground. It had caught fire. And he thought to himself, I've lost everything. The story goes that he became angry and grieved. And here's what he said. He said, God, how could you do this to me? But the next day, a boat came by that island and rescued him. And he said, how do you know I was here? They said, well, we saw your smoke signal. Did you hear what I said? We saw the smoke signal you sent up. when his hut was burning to the ground, he thought God was doing something to him, when all the while God was doing something for him. What is God doing? I don't know. But I know this. When my wife, early in her life, began to have seizures, before I even knew her, I'd never met her yet, God used those seizures to help bring her sister Maria to Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not talking about self-inflicted trouble. I'm not talking about stuff that sin has brought in your life. I'm talking about something that God's allowed. Something you didn't choose. I don't know much, but I know this. My Papaw Bill, my mama's daddy, 72 years old when he died. He got cancer. God used that cancer to give me an opportunity to share my faith with him. My own granddaddy. I knelt on my knees in that recliner chair that he used to always sit in. And I begged and pleaded with him to trust Christ. And my granddaddy that day bowed his head and asked the Lord to come into his heart and forgive his sin. You say you're glad he got cancer? No. But I'm sure glad God used it. Lord, I'm so discouraged, I don't know what to do. I have so many burdens and I gave them all to you. You didn't take them, Jesus. Will you tell me why that's so? The answer is simply a little one. Because you won't let go. One of the hardest things you'll do in trouble is let go. That's hard. And you'll find yourself in trouble, you'll let it go, and then before you know it, you've taken a hold of it again. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Cast your burden on the Lord. He'll sustain you. What is the Lord doing in this service? Let's let him have his way. I want to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, would you take this thought and would you use it? May the will of God be done. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. They're going to get prepared to begin to play through softly. As soon as you get prepared, just begin to play through softly there, if you don't mind. There are two types of people today, those who are saved and those who are lost. Those who are born again and those who are not. If you know without a doubt that heaven's... Now listen, please don't play a game with God. You know if you're a believer, or you know if you have 100% assurance or not. Please don't condemn yourself and lie. Because you can lie to me, but you cannot lie to God. Have you say, Jody, I'm glad I'm saved, I'm born again. I don't hope so, I don't think so, I know so. I'm a child of God. Period. I've trusted in Christ and Christ alone. If that's you, would you raise your hand? Be honest. Only if you can be honest. Thank you. Put your hand down. Thank you. You can put your hands down. Is there one today? Say, Jody, I could not raise my hand to that. I am not 100% sure I'm going to heaven. I am not 100% sure that I have trusted Christ and Christ alone. I am not 100% sure of that. But would you pray for me? I'm not going to come to your seat. I'm not going to embarrass you. I wouldn't do that for the world. But you say, pray for me. I'm concerned about my soul. I do not know for sure I'm saved. I do not know that. Is there anybody like that at all? Would you raise your hand? Be honest. Anybody at all? Anybody at all? My eyes are surfing. I'm looking. God bless you. You can put your hand down. Thank you. Somebody else. Somebody else. Let me ask you this question. You say, Jody, I'm a Christian, but I'm going to be honest. this message that God laid on your heart as you're just preaching through the book of John, just your next sermon, this message, no doubt, God had you preach for me. No doubt. Would you raise your hand? Be honest. Be honest. No doubt God had you preach this for me. Well, that's a lot of you. You can put your hands down. God bless you. You know what you ought to do? Be grateful. Be thankful. Put it into practice. Why don't you come in just a moment, get on your knees if you can, and say, God, thank you for speaking to me. Thank you for giving me what I need today. And take this message and learn and apply. Live by it. If you're lost and unsure of salvation, you come. We'll help you any way we can. Let's all stand together, please. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. We'll ask Brother Mike to sing one verse and one verse only. If nobody comes, we're going to end in a special way today. If God is speaking to you, as he sings, you come. Come on now, please.
Come every soul by sin oppressed, there's mercy with the Lord, and he will surely give you rest by trusting in his word. Only trust him, only trust him, only trust him now. He will save you, he will save you, he will save you now.
Sing on, Brother Mike.
Yes, Jesus is the truth, the way that leads you into rest. Believe in him without delay, and you are fully blessed. Only trust him, only trust him, only trust him now. He will save you, he will save you, he will save you now.
Be seated just a moment if you don't mind. We're dealing with somebody here. This is Wayne Radden. Wayne has been saved and gone through our discipleship program, and he wants to join our church. I always meet with those that want to join. He and I are going to have a meeting in the very near future, but he has a desire to become a member of this church, and we have a desire for you to be a member of this church. We're glad you're here, brother. God bless you. Have you happy that he has a desire to be a member of this church? Would you just say a big amen there? That's a thrilling thing, isn't it? Praise the Lord for it. And we'll get with you and have a good meeting together. Congratulations on your decision to follow Christ. That's a blessing. Praise the Lord for it. We're going to end this service in a unique way. I told you it's amazing that the Lord has you right where you need to be. And this week, one of our faithful, faithful, faithful people. What a couple. Leading our cancer ministry. Brother Bennett's already gone through cancer, and his wife has found out that she now has it, Mrs. Woodard. I'm going to read something that they've put together and asked me to read. Dear friends, I'll be going on a mission trip and request your prayers on this journey. I'll go over some bumps in the road, run into roadblocks, be detoured around, and be tired and weak from time to time, but God will see me through. Please pray especially for strength to endure this trip and clear direction as I go. God has called me to this specific mission field in a different way, that I will be sharing the gospel and witnessing to those around me as I go through surgery and chemo for the diagnosis of a stage 3-4 abdominal cancer. I trust God every step of the way as he is in control of this mission journey. Psalm 40, verse 3, he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, shall trust in the Lord. To God be the glory for what great things He has done. Love to all. Miss Joyce Woodard. God's going to see him through this. Don't know what the answer is, but I know one thing. The Lord has not brought you this far to drop you off. He's going to take care of you. I'd like to ask several ladies and several men, could be married couples. I'd like our deacons and wives to be involved in this. I'd like the cancer ministry to be involved in this. I'd like the ladies to kind of get around Miss Joyce and the men to get around Brother Bennett. You can come now, by the way. Just get up and come. We're going to close by praying for them. And they've requested that we sing "To God Be the Glory." So let's find that, okay? And we'll close our service. You can begin to play through that whenever you find it. And as soon as we say amen, we're going to sing that first verse. And this will be our closing hymn for today. We're going to pray, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask my Moses. I tell you, while he's here, glory, we're going to use him. And preacher, I want you just to get around this couple, and I want you to cry out to God that the Lord's will be done. If it's His will, that He will heal her. Hey, He can do that if He wants to. But whatever His answer is, that her request and His request will be known, that they'll glorify God, and that people will be saved. So preacher, if you'll just pray, as soon as you say amen, we'll begin to sing this right off the bat, and we'll be dismissed with this, okay? Stay right where you are. Just going to begin to play through. All teachers, first through sixth grade, you need to be dismissed back to your department. All teachers, because you're going to give out your gifts. We're going to sing together. To God be the glory, great things He hath done. And I hope many of you will come up and hug on them. Ladies with ladies, men with men. Go over here to Mr. Wayne Radden and welcome him, that he will become a member very shortly. And all the kiddos who are in here, please, you're going to be going back to your department. As a matter of fact, you can make your way now. All kiddos that are under the age of a teenager, you go back to your department to get your gift. Let's sing this together, shall we? This will be our closing.
To God be the glory, great things He hath done. So loved He the world that He gave us His Son, who yielded His life and atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done.
Playing through that, you are dismissed, folks. Please come this way if you'd like to say a word to them, encourage them. Be back tonight in God's house, 6:30, going back to the tabernacle tonight. Ask the Lord to be with us, okay? Thank you for being here.